Before we start the slides, I want to read two verses from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 and verse 10. I'm sure all of us are familiar with these verses and many could quote it verbatim. In like manner that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefastness and sobriety, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly raiment, but which becometh women professing godliness through good works. Now the text from verse 1 beginning, Paul is admonishing these brethren, men and women, how to conduct themselves, not only before himself, but before the world. I have another lesson I entitle, What Does God Call Beauty? And it's different from what man calls beauty. And Paul here is simply addressing in these two verses, and he's telling the women concerning modest apparel. I believe the King James says shamefacedness, but shamefastness is the same word. That we might have reverence for God, that we might have self-control, and we may have a sense of shame. And not only that, but he says that women should have an attractive manner. And don't let, he says, hairdos or jewelry or clothes be your main focus, but be focused on the holy things of God. As we study tonight, I'm in hopes that as we talk to both men and women, both young and old, that we'll understand that the Bible is very plain, very explicit on certain subjects that sometimes we fail to study or we fail to preach or that we fail to grasp. For an example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 14, the Bible says it is a shame for a man to have long hair. How many sermons have we heard on that in the last 10 years? It means what it says. Well, how long is long, Ken? Revelation 9, verse 7, verse 8, John said these human beings he saw had the face of a man but the hair of a woman. God gives us common sense. And as we've already read in 1 Timothy 2, especially verse 9 and 10, that women are to adorn themselves. Let that be their focus point in modest apparel. Not only that, but I want to suggest to you that this is one of the hard sayings of the Bible. John 6, verse 60 through 68. I often preach a sermon, I entitle it Hard Sayings of the New Testament. And this is one of the hard sayings when we talk about modesty and immodesty to both young and old. Our young people need to hear this. We need to teach them. They need to see it. And this is what I call a moving sermon. Because if preachers in Limestone and Madison County would preach this subject as the Bible teaches, they would be a moving van in front of their house, at least in some of them. I guarantee you that. Because brethren are not going to put up with it. We need this. And as we study tonight, modest apparel is not determined by age, weight, location, or the century in which we live. We sometimes think that all this will change what was once wrong, but now it is right. Listen, what was wrong in the first century is wrong now. Else the Bible cannot be trusted. And it will not endure forever, nor will it judge us in the last day. Modest apparel means respectable, honorable, well-arranged, seemly, orderly, and decent. Now that's what the word that God gave Paul to use, that's what it means. And as we talk about that very thing, immodesty is now what I call a respectable sin. Now we call that a respectable sin if it's something of in the immodest realm. See, immodesty is a heart problem. Young people, I'm not your enemy. But do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Galatians 4, verse 16. I don't want to be your enemy. I want to be your friend. And see if these things are not true. We're now dressing our daughters like prostitutes. Brethren, you know that's true. You can sit back and say, oh, he's talking about my darling daughter or granddaughter. We are allowing them and we're dressing them as prostitutes. Clothing now is for looking, not covering. And then clothing now displays and shows a shape of the body. That's wrong. That's immodest. Don't let someone, young lady, see what you would not want them to touch. You're old enough to understand that, young people. Why are you going to show them something that you don't want somebody to touch? But that's what we're doing. We no longer know what modesty is. Mark 5, verse 15. The Bible says here was a man that was helped by our master. A miracle was performed, and the Bible says he was clothed and in his right mind. That's what we need to emphasize more than ever. The question is, has the Bible changed since the first century? Tell me what has changed since the first century. If 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 through 10, and we'll see it applies to men too, if it has changed, so has chapter 3 changed, and elders don't have to meet qualifications. And if chapter 3 has changed, so has chapter 4. If chapter 4 has changed, so has chapter 1. We can't trust the Bible if that be the case. It will judge us in the last day. Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away, the Lord saith. And then there's Psalms 119, verse 89. Forever, O Jehovah, thy word is settled in heaven. On the day of judgment, when we stand before the great white throne, God is going to inquire as to how we reacted to 1 Timothy chapter 2. You can rest assured. Pray tell, when, why, and who changed the Bible? Who changed 1 Timothy 2 from being wrong to now a respectable, acceptable sin? 1 Timothy 2, 8 through 10 has not changed. It still reads the same. Culture, weather, time, and fashions do not alter the Bible. Brethren, when are we going to learn that? None of this affects what's right and what's wrong. Somebody says, well, don't you know the American Indians have the long hair? So what? That doesn't change the Bible. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. It's a shame to be immodestly dressed. Does God know best concerning modesty? What is our standard? That is a good question. Why do we no longer preach and teach plainly about modesty and immodesty? Why in most congregations you never hear this discussed? A preacher or teacher might even refer to 1 Timothy 2 and mention the word modest apparel. But we don't emphasize it. We don't preach about it because, you see, we've compromised. We want to be politically correct, and we want to be like our denomination of friends and not hurt their feelings. We cave to peer pressure and to the somewhat. You know what I mean, don't you, when I say the somewhat? The ones who are elevated in the sight of men, either status or money or position. I know, and I can give you examples, where elders asked preachers to preach a certain subject, and when he did, the somewhat got mad, and the elders fired the preacher for preaching it. Because of the somewhat, we have no backbone or respect for the Bible. We sometimes do not fear God and what He says. Why do we no longer teach about it? We are afraid of losing members. Because you see, the preacher is expendable. Preachers are expendable. But we don't want to make anybody mad now and lose members. And when you preach on subjects like this, I've been told that's hard, angry, and mad preaching. No, it's not. It's not mad preaching. Some says it's unloving, unkind, and you're not inclusive, Ken. Who are you to preach a sermon like that? 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and 10. If you disagree with what Paul said, then please tell me before you exit the building tonight where I have missed it. Where modest apparel no longer means modest apparel. Clothing is now tighter, shorter, and more sloppy than ever before. Allow me to use this statement once again about KFC because it fits the lesson. The men who pass the Lord's Supper or the men who preach and teach or whatever, you know what I'm talking about. We think we're at Kentucky Fried Chicken because a lot of times all we see is breasts, legs, and thighs. And it's embarrassing. It is totally embarrassing. Is my clothing respectable? That's the question we need to ask. Is it appropriate? See, immodesty is a heart problem. It's a heart problem. Our youth no longer hear this. Now, you remember when this was the occasion? Was my generation wrong for emphasizing that we're going to meet God and we're going to put on our best? We're going to worship our Father. Now, what happened? Brethren, what, were we wrong 25 and 35 years ago? Were we wrong? Our dress tells on us. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 10, there was a lady, a woman, that was dressed as of a harlot. Well, how'd they know she was dressed like a prostitute, a harlot? Well, that's obvious, is it not? It's obvious. Immodesty creates temptation. It causes others to sin. Read Matthew 5, 28 and Proverbs 6, 25, especially those. Then there's James 1, 14 and Matthew 18, verse 6 and 7. If you cause one to stumble, it'd be better if a millstone was tied about your neck and cast into the sea. That includes immodesty and lust. My mother was not a member of the Church of Christ. We tried and tried. We taught, my brother and I. And we finally got her to come into church. But the first time she came to church, she pulled into the Oxford Church of Christ parking lot. She put it in reverse and went back home. She said, "Son, I thought I was going to church where God was to be worshiped. And if that's how you people dress, I want no part of it." Now, she was sincere. It sets a poor example, Matthew 5, 13 through 16, that we're no longer the light on a hill. We're no longer the salt of the earth. We're not a good example to those about us, which could put others in danger. Back up one statement. Yes, girls. Yes, ladies, I know. There are some men, if you were a one-eyed cyclop in a suit of armor, some men would still lust after you. I know that. I know that. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. What is the standard? Is it the world? Is that our standard now about dress? Is it our parents, whatever they allow us and whatever they buy us? Are the parents the standard concerning immodest dress? What about the preacher that says it's okay because old Ken is just an old alley-oop. He lives in the dark ages, and please understand him and just excuse him for saying what he does. What about the elders? What about friends that you have? What about fashions? What about situation ethics? Are they the standard? Wherever you are, whatever they do, that's what you do? No, that contradicts the Bible. Is the Bible our guide? Is it our standard? Look at this list. Who do you turn to for your example and for consenting to the way you dress? God looks at the inside, Ken, not the outside. Ken, don't you know that? No, I didn't. Couldn't tell you how many times I've heard that. Well, God doesn't matter. He doesn't care how we're dressed. God doesn't care. He looks at the inside. He looks at our heart. Young people, don't buy that. Explain to me why God clothed Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 if he only looked at the inside, as we'll see in the next slide. Again, Proverbs 7:10, a woman was dressed like a harlot, said the inspired man. What about Vashti? Be of Vashti when the king wanted her to come in, where there was nothing but a drunken barroom brawl. She said, "I'm not going to do that." Have that attitude. Be like her. Well, who told you that God doesn't look on the outside but the inside? If that's true, then what about the nudist? What about all these people, you know, that don't wear clothes and got their own little colonies and their own little beaches? Well, God looks at the inside and they're walking around naked as a jaybird. Oh, but God doesn't judge that. Yes, he does. And then why was one cast out for not wearing a wedding garment in Matthew 22. Think about that. This man was rejected and cast out because he didn't have on the proper, appropriate clothing. It does matter. Now, one can dress like a harlot. Read Genesis 38, verse 12, beginning. A man came after this woman left and said, "Where is a harlot that was here yesterday? Where is she? I want her." Well, how did she, why did he say that? Well, I wear a bikini, a modest bikini, Ken. Don't you know that? Oh, sure, I go down to the public places and to the beach, and I wear two pieces, and I wear the straps, and I wear the bikinis. And a man says, well, I wear the thongs or whatever. But God don't judge me for that. He looks at my heart. If you can dress like that in Florida or in Gulf Shores, you can dress like that in Huntsville, Alabama. If not, why not? It's just as wrong in both places because it's immodesty. The first clothes in Genesis chapter 3. You'll notice that in verse 7 of chapter 3, the Bible says they were naked after they ate the fruit. And then they made figs, apron figs. And we see in verse 11, they thought that was sufficient. But notice in verse 21 that God made them tunics. He covered from the shoulder down to their ankles. Well, they started off being like this, and then they thought, well, I'll just hide some of my parts. God says, that's not good enough. I still believe that example, Romans 15, verse 4, should be emphasized. Now, one can have clothes on and still be considered naked. Did you know that? For an example, it means unclad, without clothing, ill-clad, or clad in undergarments only. The word naked means that. Badly clad, not fully clothed, lightly clad. Read John 21, verse 7, about a man named Peter. He had on clothes, but the Bible says he was naked because he didn't have on enough clothes. You can't argue that, and I can't argue that. Undergarments only cause this man to be considered in the sight of God as being naked or nude. Exposing the thigh, the Bible says, is nakedness. Exodus 28, verse 42, and ye shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. Nahum 3, verse 5, lifting up the skirt, he says, is nakedness. I hope that I'm just not talking to the wall, and I don't think I am. When God says that you can be ill-clad and still in His sight be considered nude or naked or immodest. But Ken, I've got on some clothes, but God says, do you have on enough and the right kind? Let's quickly go to the next one. Isaiah 47, verse 2 and 3. Young people, watch this. Remove your veil, take off the skirt, uncover the thigh. Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Your shame will be seen. For showing parts of the body that you ought not. Don't let anybody see what you don't want them to touch. Isaiah 20 and verse 4. Revealing the buttocks is considered as being nude. Look around today. Look in our society. Look in some congregations and classrooms and look in some auditoriums in worship and see if that verse is not the same as it was in Isaiah's day. God doesn't judge the outside dress. Not only does He not look at the outside, Ken, but He doesn't judge us for the outside. Now, we're not talking about poor clothing of James 2. These poor people were modestly dressed. They just had on poor-looking garments. They didn't have the best. You just talk about being immodest. Nakedness in and of itself is not wrong because else, you know, we wouldn't bathe. We understand that. But customs must conform to the Bible. And it does matter how one is dressed, as we're about to make some illustrations. Immodesty is wrong whether it's in Alaska or Florida. It doesn't matter if you live on the other side of the world. The Bible is still the standard. And now, men dressing like a woman, vice versa, is wrong. These perverts like Bruce Jenner or these men who like to dress up like women, they are wrong. And vice versa. I've often said there's one thing worse than a henpecked man, and that is a woman that's trying to act like a man. That's just as sickening. That's just as wrong. I don't want you catch you looking at my wife or my daughter, or I'll knock your eyes out. I know a man that wanted his wife to dress like a prostitute all the time, but he would fuss and fight with people when they looked at her, when they went out. Well, what did he expect? Why do Christians dress immodestly? Ignorant about divine principles? Allow the world standards to influence them. Well, everybody's doing it, my friends. Look at the fashions now. Brethren, gradually accept it and get used to it. I think that's what's happened overall for the majority part. It's just one step will lead to another. They don't want rules or regulations. Nobody's going to tell me how to dress. Do not believe God means what He says. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and 10. What does a word immodest mean? What does a word modest mean? Here's a test for modest dress. Clothing that's too short, too tight, too thin, too low, and too loose. According to 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and 10. If you have trouble getting in or out of your clothing, I'm not talking about because you gain weight, but if you have trouble, then you need to take an inventory. If you have to be careful sitting or bending over, you better check your clothing. Folks look at any part of your body before they look at your face, and that's what a lot of men and women want. And you know I'm telling the truth. A test, if they see your most private body parts or an outline of these parts under your clothes, that is immodest. Take an inventory. Our dress and actions affect others. It brings shame on Christ and the church. Don't think people are not noticing or looking, or they are. It discourages others. Not only that, but it misleads weak Christians. It will mislead them. And then you can lose your soul and may cause others to be lost. Sometimes I would like to ask you to study in Galatians 5, uncleanness and lasciviousness. Those two words are connected with immodesty. For an example, as we'll see in a minute, the word lasciviousness includes vulgar or unchaste body movements. That word is included in what we've been talking about. Here's some defenses for immodesty, okay? Again, I'm not your enemy. I want you to be right with God, not only on the inside, but outside as well. Here's some defenses. Well, immodest is okay when participating in a sporting event. I'm getting close to home, I know now. I know I'm hitting home. Well, it's okay when at a school function. In other words, time out, God. I can wear this at a school function or at a public swimming pool or beach on a job that requires such. Old Ken is just an old dinosaur. Well, you know, Susie, your teacher means well, but she's just old-fashioned. It's okay to wear what you want when you're at school, at a sporting event, at a school function, at the swimming pool. It doesn't matter what you wear. God looks at the inside. Is that what the Bible teaches? Ways in which one can be immodest. One can have on short dresses, mini skirts that reveal too much. Brethren, you know good and well you see that occasionally and often, inside and outside the assembly. You know that. Dresses with splits, backless dresses, low-cut blouses and see-through dresses, swimsuits, short shorts, halter tops, cheerleading, majorette, swimming outfits. Somebody says, "Oh, Ken, I thought a lot of you till you said that." Are you telling me that a young lady can do those vulgar body movements and you can see her bloomers out there doing it and God says you're not immodest? She is immodest. Now, that's what God said. I didn't make this up. Men without shirts, underwear type shorts that these men wear, that is immodest. Questions. Can I stand, walk, sit, kneel, bend over without being nude or naked? Now remember what the word is. You say, well, I've got on clothes, but according to God, do you have on enough clothes to cover your private parts? Do you really, young people? Does my clothing emphasize certain body parts that might lead or tend to provoke lust? Again, we don't wear clothes in society anymore for clothing to cover up, but for people to look at us and to show. Does my clothing cause respect for me, or does it prompt opinions otherwise? Do people respect you for what you wear, or are they thinking something they ought not? Can I stand, walk, sit, kneel, bend over without being naked? Does my clothing emphasize certain body parts? I wanted to go back to that. And we have to answer that question. How should one dress? Clothing indicates character. Else, what is meant when it says she had on the attire of a harlot? Does mine lack upright character? That's the question. What kind of influence will my clothes have on others? Nobody lives to himself and nobody dies to himself. See, our reputation and character follows us like our shadow, goes everywhere we go. Would I wear this if Jesus was here? Men and women, young ladies, young men, would you wear what you wear if you stood before our Lord? What is my motivation for the type of clothes that I wear? Why am I wearing this type of clothing or this dress or these shorts or whatever? Why am I wearing that? Challenges. Parents, don't allow immodesty and then expect sudden changes at ages 12 through 16. It ain't going to happen. It will be ingrained in them. Don't let them start off and don't condone it at an early age. Teach your children about modesty. Not only that, but teach children by word and example. It's just not young ladies and young men. It's older men and women. Be consistent in applying standards. Never undermine your mate on this. If daddy thinks the child needs to have on more clothes or vice versa, don't go against your mate on that. Those young ones see right through it. Fruits of immodesty. It rejects what God said and what God commanded. It sears the conscience and loses a sense of shame. You get used to it. It conforms to the world. It will move toward more immodesty in the world and in the church. It absolutely will. And then fruits of immodesty causes us to avoid teaching on this subject. In my generation, we heard it, and we heard it often. There's such a thing as modesty. There's such a thing as immodest. If a bathing suit and bikini and short shorts and halter tops and going shirtless by men, if that's modest, I want you to tell me what is immodest before you leave the building tonight. What would you say was immodest if that is modest? What would a person have to take off before or put on before they would be immodest? As a ring of gold and a swine snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Proverbs 11, verse 22. I didn't say that. I didn't call you women a hog or a pig. But God says, as a ring of gold and a swine snout, if you're not full of discretion by the clothing that you wear, read that verse often and see what God thinks about it. Appropriate dress is in order. You look in a mirror and ask yourself this question: am I flaunting my stuff? Let me just look up here right now. Are you flaunting your stuff by what you wear? Is my clothing appropriate and respectful? Will my dress harm or help my influence? Would the most godly man, the most godly woman I know wear this? Would they? How you dress, the question is, would you send a photo to heaven by what you wear from day to day? Would you want God and the holy angels to see that as if they don't? And never put another person's mind in the gutter. See, when you tempt lust, you're just as wrong as the one who does the lusting. It's just as wrong. Galatians 5:21, he named 15 sins and says, and such like. And he mentioned lasciviousness and uncleanness. The miniskirt, as we know, the woman who invented the miniskirt said it was to seduce men without undressing. Hey, in the 60s, when I was a teenager, Listen, they have clothing is just as short now as ever. It wasn't just some hippie movement in the 60s. We can know what is modest. Here's a good question, young and old. If I offered you $50,000 cash to dress modestly, would you have any trouble knowing what to put on? Would you ladies come in a facility of school or the hospital or church or whatever with a miniskirt or a halter top or short shorts if I said, I'll give you $50,000 if you'll come in a modest apparel? And men, would you come in without a shirt and these old tennis shorts or whatever and your underwear showing, your belly button showing? Would you come in like that? You know you wouldn't. Displaying belly buttons and underwear and body parts is sin. That's nothing but a stripped show, according to God, because he says you're naked and you need to put on some clothes. If bikinis and going shirtless is modest, tell me what is not modest. Please tell me. I want to know. Why do you want others to see your unmentionables? Well, why do you want that? Why do you want people to see your very private nature? Are you advertising? You're flaunting your stuff? Is that why? Why do you wear that? Why do people wear clothing like that? Romans 14:7. No one lives to himself and no one dies to himself. I'm concerned how folks dress for worship as I travel out from time to time to preach. I'm real concerned about it. Because one thing's going to lead to another. Genesis 41:14. The Bible says that when the king called Joseph out of prison, you remember what he did, Brother Jerry? He shaved and he changed clothes. He's going to stand before the king. What about the king of heaven? Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'm in the midst of them. Now, I can't dictate exactly what you're to wear, what color, you know, and a long sleeve shirt or a short sleeve shirt. I can't do that. But God gave us enough common sense to know what is immodest. With a present attitude, brethren, what is next? Now, look at this one, please. Men, I've seen this in worship, where a man will have on shorts, a tank top, flip-flops, and earrings. And then I've seen him up there serving the Lord's Supper and carrying the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine to Christians to partake and to commune with the Master. Let me ask you a question. That same young man would carry the casket of his grandmother tomorrow, and you know what he would have on? He'd have on a tie and a suit, carrying a casket of his fleshly grandmother, but when he's carrying what is to us the body and the blood of Jesus, he doesn't give a hill of beans what he looks like. That don't make sense to me. Maybe to you, but not to me. Go back 25 years. Look at our dress. Look how we dress for worship and tell me that it hasn't changed. Oh, it has changed. Those who argue for casual and inappropriate dress, as I've just mentioned, I want to be concerned about when I am carrying, as it were, the body and the blood of our Master. See, we wear suits and ladylike dresses to funerals, don't we? We wear appropriate clothing to weddings. We dress modestly for graduations and banquets. We do not wear a tie or stockings when we're cutting grass. That's, you know, pantyhose now. I still old-fashioned stockings. But what about when you go to a business or a company dinner? Or what about if you're invited to the White House or if you were on trial for a crime? Have you noticed how they dress the men and women who's on trial, maybe for murder? Oh, you would never think there was the same person that committed that crime a few months before. Their hair's cut, they got a suit, the woman's got a nice dress on with makeup and lipstick. But yet when we come to worship God, I go to see a girlfriend, my clothes are nice and neat, I comb my hair and shine my shoes on my feet. My best friend is getting married, I'm the best man. I want the wedding to be great. I dress the best I can. I'll attend a funeral tomorrow. I'll look my best. A new shirt and tie plus a new suit and vest. It's Sunday morning. I will worship God today. My clothes are not tidy and my hair is in disarray. My shirt will be open to show hair on my chest. I'm not too concerned if my pants are not pressed. Why is it before man I want to look my best? But when I worship God, I don't care how I'm dressed. Do you find truth in that statement? I do. Is it modest or is it appropriate? A long bathrobe, bare feet, and hair in curlers is not appropriate in worship to God. Oh, it may be modest to cover up the body, but you see, it's undue attention. And that wouldn't be modest apparel to worship God. A suit of armor prevents nakedness, but is it modest and appropriate for worshiping God? I've never seen a man come in with a suit of armor in worship. Would he be immodest in the sense that he's not covering up? No, but he'd be causing undue attention. A man wrapped in one of my old sheet charts may be modest, but is it appropriate to serve the Lord's Supper? If that's all he had on was just one of my old queen-size sheets wrapped all the way around him and was going to call on him to serve the Lord's Supper, would we think that would be appropriate or a good example? Does it matter how I dress? I know there's bed clothing, hunting, ball clothing, prison clothing, work clothes. We used to know what church clothes were. We used to. Can we also lighten up on our speech and habits? It all boils down to a lack of fear and respect. You notice in the Old Testament, God gave strict orders about the priest. And especially if they were going to climb steps to go up on the sacrifice to wear breeches, he says, so you'll be modest. What an example. The New Testament, we are priests. And when we offer worship to God, should we not be also appropriately dressed? What standard will elders use? I'm not talking about Tim and Jerry, and I'm not talking about these elders here and Jimmy, but any eldership. Here's a serious question. What standard will elders use that Jimmy Clark cannot wear a dress as he stands in the pulpit? Do you think Jerry West would allow Jimmy to get up here with a woman's dress on to preach? I would pray and hope not and don't think so. No shorts or shirtless people in the pulpit. No. Not even when you're serving the Lord's Supper. What standard will elders use to say that's not appropriate? No bikinis worn to worship services, ladies. No tank, mesh tops, lipstick worn in the pulpit. No major red outfits worn by female teachers. No Halloween costumes worn by the preacher. No football uniform worn by the song leader. But my question is, what standard, what scripture, what authority can we prevent these things? You say, well, that's not appropriate, that's immodest. Yes. But when you name the scripture, you're going to have to go back to 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and 10. And when you use that verse, it shows that it is just as valid now as ever before. What about purple hair and a nose ring and tattoos and tennis shorts and cut-off t-shirt with Bud Light written on it, and we call on that young man to lead prayer? I would hope not. By what standard and authority is this prohibited? What scripture prevents the above? Where do elders draw the line? Now, it is now too late in many congregations because we don't want to hurt feelings. We don't mind hurting God's feelings. How many preachers are fired for even saying these things? Not that I've said anything that's new or fantastic or knocked you out in the aisle. No. But when it comes to modest dress, inside and outside the worship service, give me a break, brethren and friends. Listen, McDonald's, the military, ball teams, workplaces can and do enforce dress codes. They do. You can be fired or fined in all of these businesses. And the church does not know what appropriate and modest is? And we're doing the greatest thing on the face of this earth, and that is to worship God. Why do elders and preachers and members refuse to deal with this? And some even become angry when it's mentioned. In worship, I believe we're throwing scraps to God because of our mentality. Now, there's about two slides left, I believe, and I'll be quiet. This lesson is for the young and old. I would have loved to emphasize some things, but I knew with these 30-some-odd slides, I had to hurry. Brethren, what's happened to us? Why the undressing? Why the immodest clothing? Why the inappropriate clothing? We want, number one, we want to please the world and our friends. I believe that's number one. We don't want to be different. Number two, we want to count noses and dollars and keep people coming and don't give any restrictions and don't ever say anything about what is modest and immodest. At Hillview there, those years, several years that I preached there, a young man came in services and he had on a pair of short shorts. Well, the two elders we have, whom I loved, appreciated, and respected, they didn't want to deal with it. They told me to call him into a classroom and talk to him and deal with it. That was the elder's job. That wasn't my job. Is it because we want to pay for our fine facilities and we need every dollar that we can possibly get to pay for what we built? Is that it? And we excuse a respectable sin? We're either ignorant of the Bible or we just don't care if any of these things apply. And I'm not saying they apply here. I'm speaking overall in the church. Now, here's the last slide. You look at that lady. Can condemn my darling angel daughter tonight by the way she dresses at school, the way she dresses at church, the way she in the school functions or in the the sports field. How dare Ken Butterworth? I did not condemn your daughter or granddaughter. I only told you what God said. How dare Ken tell me my child is sinning? I didn't say that. You have to deal with God on that. Can we no longer blush or be ashamed? Have we passed that? Brethren, have I preached the truth? If not, please give me book, chapter, and verse. And I'm not going to back off of this. Somebody says, yeah, it's easy for you because you don't preach full time and you don't get a salary. You ask that lady that stayed with me now after we dated in high school for 54 years of marriage. You ask her if I hadn't preached this way for 50 years. I'm not going to bow before a paycheck. I want you to go to heaven, young people. I want you to know what's right before God and that you please Him at home, in the world, in the church, and that you be ladies and gentlemen, Christian ladies and gentlemen. Do I even get a single amen tonight? Have I told the truth? I'm not mad. I'm not fussing. I want to emphasize these things over and over again. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and 10, it talks about being a person that has on modest apparel, appropriate clothing. The world cannot dictate, young and old, what we wear and what we put on and sanction it. Remember the example of Adam and Eve. As they stood before God without anything, and then they thought they could cover up part of their body, and God says, that's not good enough. Take that example with you. I love you people. I respect, love these young people and you. May God help us to make God proud in all that we do, including the way we dress with our appropriate or inappropriate clothing, which is dangerous, as you'll see on the day of judgment. Thank you so much, and I appreciate the elders giving me this opportunity.